I was talking about denial of, you know, desires. And this is very confusing, you know. Maybe confusing. Our way is not asceticism, but actually, what we, if you read, you know, our precepts literally, there is no difference. But what it means is completely different. What is the difference is what I want to talk about tonight. Or what is the difference between to study and to listen to? Go to the master and listen to what he says. And to study. Or why you started to study then? There must be some reason why so many people come and come to the center and practice then and study then. I think this is because of the our culture or civilization came to already dead end, and you realize that you cannot go any more, any further, more. So someone who notice, people who notice that this is the dead end may come to the center to find out some way to go further. That is, you know, you are feeling, you know, whether or not you understand what is dead end or why we came to the dead end. The foundation of our culture is based on individualism, and individualism is based on, you know, idea of self, you know. And from the time of Renaissance, we awoke in our human nature, and we started to put emphasis on our human nature rather than, you know, something which is called divine nature or holy nature. We put more emphasis what we are and what is human nature. And we wanted to express our human nature as much as possible. But, and, you know, the human nature holy nature, you know, or Buddha nature, were replaced by human nature. And that human nature is not what we mean by Buddha nature. And this is, you know, starting point of a mistake. So whatever the whatever thought may be communism or capitalism or individualism, all those thoughts are based on individual right or individual power or individual supremacy of individual. So for instance, you know, individualism or capitalism seek for the freedom of our desire or freedom. But communism rather put emphasis on equality of the profit or right. But equality and freedom is not, you know, compatible, you know. If you want to be free, you know, from everything, if you want to extend your desire freely, limitlessly, you know, you cannot divide things equally, you know, because you want to extend your desire as much as you can. If each one of you extend, you know, their desire, it is not possible to possess things equally. But our conscience always tell us, you should be free in extending your desire. It is all right. It should be all right to act freely, to possess things as much as you can, if you don't disturb people. But if you have too much, you know, when others do not have so much, you don't feel so good. So that is not compatible thought. Those are not compatible. The why, you know, this kind of individualism or desire, freedom of desire, and equality of our right is compatible. It's because our thought is based on self-centered idea. We, you know, when we say equality, equality means, you know, equality of our human power. When we say desire, limitless desire, freedom of desire, it means our freedom, my freedom, or someone's freedom. So there's no idea of holy being or Buddha or God. There's no idea of it, which will make some room to some background to give appropriate position to equality and desires, freedom. So those ideas, those thoughts, if it is necessary for us to accommodate those thoughts without difficulty, it is necessary to postulate some big fundamental idea of non-selfish desire or limitless bounder of boundary of material or place, which is not just material or spiritual, something beyond spiritual and material is necessary. That is so-called non-selfishness. As long as our life is controlled or based on a selfish idea, you know, it is not possible for every thought to find its own place without fighting with each other. So there's no wonder why we have difficulty in our life. When our life is based on just, you know, a superficial idea of self or individual, asceticism before Buddhism put emphasis they practice asceticism for their future, you know, a good life, to be born in some place where they have lot of enjoyment or more in a perfect world. That is, you know, a kind of selfish extension, extended selfish practice. But our modification is not based on selfish desire. The purpose of our practice is to control our desires so that our desires find its own place and act properly. we control our desire. And so that every one of us, you know, without any difficulty, to extend our desire, we practice mortification. So difference is, our mortification is based on non-selflessness. And before Buddha's mortification, it's practice of mortification based on selfish desire, or extended practice of selfish practice. When you practice, when you study Buddhism, you know, you have a lot of selfish idea. I study Buddhism. I must know what it is, you know. When you want to listen to your teacher, there's not much self, you know, selfish idea. That is the difference. This is very important point. Why you should have a teacher is without extending selfish practice or understanding to learn the truth in its pure form, excluding selfish practice. The study is also, you know, practice. It is not just intellectual. It is intellectual practice. So it is nothing, it is not different from Zazen practice, because it is based on non-selfish idea. It is not selfish, extended selfish practice. Why we say you should practice Zazen without gaining idea? No. Gaining idea based on selfish idea. And when you just sit, because you are told to sit, because that is Buddha's way, only because that is Buddha's way. You have not a selfish idea in your practice. When you have, you eliminate a selfish idea from your practice, that is actually a non-selfish practice. The true way of practicing truth. In Shobo Gento, on the first chapter, Dogen Zenji refers to interesting. A story. There were a priest called Gensoku. Gensoku is the name of the priest. who is taking care of a temple of Hogen Zenji. And he thought he understood Buddhism very well. So he didn't ask any questions to the master for 3 years. At last, the Hogen Zenji asked him, it is already 3 years since you came here. Why don't you ask some question to me?" And Gensok said, "Excuse me?" "Why don't you come and ask some questions?" He said, the master said. "But that accurate, you know, said, I studied for a long time under Seiho Zenji, and I think I understand what is Buddhism completely," he said. "How did you, how do you understand Buddhism? And what kind of teaching did you receive from him?" And the priest said, "My former master asked me how do you understand when the old master said it is, you know, to study Buddhism is like to seek for fire. It is like a man who was born in the year of fire, you know, seek for fire. Fire seek for fire, you know. And to study Buddhism is to study Buddhism. Who is himself? He himself is Buddha. Buddha study Buddha. That is my understanding of how we study Buddhism. But Hogen did not, you know, accept it. He said, "That is what I thought. You don't understand what is Buddhism at all." So he was very much upset, and he went away. But before he traveled so long, he thought, "Hogen is master, famous Zen master. There must be some reason why he said so. When I said to study Buddhism is fire, seek for fire. So he thought it may be a good chance for me to have real understanding of Buddhism. He must have some good understanding of our way. So he came back to him and asked him, what is the way to study Buddhism? He said, and the master said, it is like a fire. Seek for fire. He repeated same thing. And Dogen Zenji said, you know, and he enlightened, you know, by the same words. When, before he enlightened, you know, he thought, I understand, you know, what is Buddhism. And he, you know, he thought, my understanding is perfect. That is why his understanding was not perfect. When he gave up, you know, his intellectual understanding, his limited understanding, and seek for some more truth. When he tried to seek for some more, then his mind is open and enlightened. So Dogen Zenji says, if you understand like the accurate, and think that is a way to understand what is Buddhism, Buddhism will not continue so long. So we should not be, if it is all right to understand some teaching literally and stick to the teaching is all right. The Buddhism cannot be, you know, transmitted to us. When we limitlessly try to extend our true nature instead of selfish, limited self, then Buddhism is there. When we forget all about the limitation of intellectual limitation of the teaching, then Buddhism will be extended forever. In that way, Buddhism will have eternal future. So some written teaching or something which was told by someone, and if you stick to it, that is not through teaching. When you know, receive it, accept it with non-selfish attitude, you will have it. Something humble attitude. You have true understanding of the teaching. The teaching is there. That is why Kogen Zenji is necessary for the accurate, for the students. If written teaching, even though Shobokenzo, you know, it's perfect, there will be no need to study Buddhism. Under some teacher. Even though Shobokenzo is perfect, you know, you want your teacher. That is why we recite sutra, you know, before we start lecture. Shobokenzo is here, and I bow to Shobokenzo, and I study Shobokenzo with you. If I say, you know, I know something, that is wrong. The extended practice of bow to the Shobokenzo is how I speak about it and how you listen to it. Instead of, you know, some confidence, if you have confidence, that confidence is not in something which you have, but confidence in something you can extend forever. Something which comes from selflessness, which is the base, a foundation of all teaching. So instead of putting emphasis on a Soto way, or a Rinzai way, or a Tendai way, we put emphasis on nothingness. Everything comes from nothing. And our way will be extended forever, limitlessly. That is how we study Buddhism. Our desire, you know, our desire, when it, the desire based on selfish, you know, idea, that is not acceptable. We cannot accept that kind of desire. But when our desire is based on when our desire is unselfish desire, we that is how we extend our way. So difference between modification of asceticism in Buddhistic practice and asceticism, our way is different. And the way to control our desire looks like same, but actually completely different. This is the most important point, and I didn't refer to this point on this lecture. when I give lecture at Dasana. So, to control, to extend our desire, it's to be strict to ourselves. You know, without being strict with ourselves, we cannot do anything, because that will be the wrong practice. So, first of all, we should reflect on our practice. And before we say something, you know, we should reflect on ourselves. This is a very, very important point. You should not rely on some teaching, but you should reflect on yourself and polish up yourself and get rid of selfish idea as much as you can. Even though you attain a wonderful attainment or enlightenment, if you do not polish yourself, if you forget to polish yourself, that enlightenment will not work. That is not real enlightenment. When we realize ourselves, and when after reflecting on ourselves, and when we are able to see things as it is, whatever the thought may be, it's acceptable. Capitalism is all right, communism is all right, nothing wrong with it. But when we, understand things, when our understanding is based on selfish idea, and when we try to force our opinion to others, then without reflecting on our way, and when you attach to your own idea, rejecting others' idea, then your effort will end in dead end. After all, you should fight. You will fight with others, that's all. And both will be hard. You cannot survive anymore, because you lose your background, true background. Thank you. If you have some question, please ask me.
Introspection,
yeah. First of all, we have to have wisdom to see things as it is. When we have we have no selfish idea, we can see things as it is. So we know what we are doing always, and we know that we are not perfect, and our idea is one-sided idea. So we have, you know, always room to accept someone's idea too, because we know that what I say or how I practice is not perfect. That is humbleness, you know. That is how to accommodate our opinion to others' opinion. How do you do that? You shouldn't, you know, why I say so, why I say control, it's your, you know, way of extending desire is, you know, based on selfish idea. So you, without reflecting, your desire is selfish one, you know. And you take it. You try to extend it. You think this is, and there's nothing wrong, you know, to extend your desires. That is, you know, the mistake. Something matters, something wrong. It is something wrong if you extend your desire without thinking or reflecting, without, not control, but without observing your, without reflecting on your desire. What is desire? Desire, in its usual sense, always based on selfish, you know, idea. Isn't that so? But when you think, you know, nothing wrong to extend my desire. If some say, you shouldn't do so, then you feel bad. You feel some restriction. But if you, that is control in ordinary sense. But when you realize, when you reflect on your desire, as if you understand your desire, pretty selfish, you know, then naturally you will limit your desire to some extent. That is not control. That is the way desire should be. The big difference. Do you understand? No, no eyes.
No eyes.
Uh-huh. No eyes or no ear means, you know. We think I have ears, I have nose, you know. But nose is not just nose, you know. Nose is some organ, you know, to smell. And ears, some organ to hear. And the combination of nose and, you know, five senses, sense organs, will have some understanding. So just nose or just ears doesn't work. But we usually think, I have nose, I have ears. Ears is, our ears is quite different organ from, you know, nose. But that is not true. So even though you cannot see, you can tell, ear will see something. The function of the ears will, you know, will change, and ears with some faculty to, you know, to see colors, and by listening to something, you know, you will see some color. That kind of change will take place. If you cannot see. So nose is not just nose, and ears is not just ears, as we understand. So no nose. No nose is right. There is nose that is right, and there is no nose that is also right. And yes and no, you should understand in two ways. Yes and no. That is complete understanding. So you do not, you know, stick to your nose. I have no nose. That's okay, you may say. You have no nose. That's okay. You have no ears. That's okay, you may say. Both is true. The two ways of explaining something. So no notes. Why it says no notes is because we think there is, you know, notes. you shouldn't ask a question like that. No, no, it's all right. When you do not ask a question, if you take it for granted, you know, it is their understanding of things. That kind of, you know, wisdom is necessary if you want to see things as it is. So as long as you have stick to some selfish, you know, understanding or special understanding, you cannot see things as it is.
Small self comes from.
Actually, there is no small self, you know. But you say there is small self. That is the mistake. We usually have that kind of mistake.
Where did that mistake come from?
That mistake? That is not actually a mistake, you know. That is all right. But you say mistake. You may ask me, oh, why I say mistake? That is, you know, a one-sided view. You don't see things as it is, because you stick to one-sided view. Okay? Judy? Your eyes is wandering. I'm wondering. Is it all right? Is that true? When I say restrict, you should restrict your desire, I mean, you should not extend, you know, your desire in limited sense. Limited sense. You know, Vanessa, this is my desire. You limit the nature of desire already. So, without limitation means to based on or to have a wider understanding of the desire. Then you can extend forever. Concrete situation?
Yeah.
Concrete situation, yeah. Concrete situation. Actually, you know, there is no concrete situation. You know, if you say concrete situation, you should also say limited desire. You know, when you say concrete situation, your desire, your limitless desire, also will be limited. But actually, you cannot limit your desire. Or you, there's no concrete situation. It is, you know, somewhat it is changing. But if you see, if you reflect on your situation, as long as you see your situation, it is all right. Then you will not, you know, do anything too much or too little. You can do just what he wants. You limit the desire.
Can you could we
The point is, you know, the point is, whatever the desire is, you know, it is necessary, you know, to control. It should be under control, in short. But why we should control our desire is the desire we have right now, you know, in this moment, is not perfect one. More or less, our desire is involved in selfish, you know, selfish desire. So only one desire, which is complete, is Buddha's desire. We should know that. And Buddha's desire is not some desire which we have actually right now. So all the desires we feel we have is actually limited desire, not perfect desire. We should know that. But when we don't know that, we will get into trouble. That is what I mean. So only perfect desire belongs to Buddha. Perfect one. which include everything. Whatever he does, it is all right, because he is just one whole being. He's no, for him there's no friend or no enemy. What exists is Buddha himself. So for him it is all right, but for each one of us, which is a part of him, you know, it is necessary to, you know, to accommodate our desire. If I desire so much, you know, you should ask someone if I extend my desire a little bit more or not, you know. Hi. Conditioned by a human, when we say human nature, you know, maybe human nature will be understood in two ways. In comparison to Buddha nature, we say human nature in its humble sense. And humble attitude. And but sometimes most people say human nature. When most people say human nature, he may think because this is human nature, you know, nothing wrong to have human nature for a human being. So I can do whatever we like. You know, that is another kind of understanding of human nature. We should know that, you know. When we understand human nature in its more humble way, you know, in comparison to perfect nature, then human nature makes sense. That is what we mean by human nature. So you should not interpret same, you know, words in always same way. You know, it is how we study Buddhism. If we can, you know, read same word, same way, by the same way, that is another mistake. So constantly, you know, we must open our eyes, open our mind, and see the situation. And that is the point. Okay. Thank you very much. That is what I mean. So only perfect desire belongs to Buddha, perfect one, which includes everything. Whatever he does, it is all right, because he is just one whole being. He's no, for him, there's no friend or no enemy. What exists is Buddha himself. So for him, it is all right, but for each one of us, which is a part of him, you know, it is necessary to, you know, to accommodate our desire. If I desire so much, you know, you should ask someone if I extend my desire a little bit more or not. You know. Hi. Conditioned by a human. When we say human nature, you know, maybe human nature will be understood in two ways. In comparison to Buddha nature, we say human nature in its humble sense. And humble attitude. And but sometimes most people say human nature. When most people say human nature, he may think because this is human nature, you know, nothing wrong to have human nature for a human being. So I can do whatever we like. You know, that is another kind of understanding of human nature. We should know that, you know. When we understand human nature in its more humble way, you know, in comparison to perfect nature, then human nature makes sense. That is what we mean by human nature. But so, yeah. So you should not interpret same, you know, words in always same way. You know, it is how we study Buddhism. If we can, you know, read same words. Same way, by the same way, that is another mistake. So, constantly, you know, we must open our eyes, open our mind, and see the situation. And that is the point. Okay. Thank you very much.